Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. It's good to be with you. It's good to continue to be with you. Thank you for hanging around with me. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Don't forget, when you get a chance, to wander by my website, www.jbsba.com. Noodle around there, and I think you'll find lots of good stuff there. We're getting some really great comments from people who are checking it out and subscribing to our free newsletter, which you can do right there on the website. It comes every week by email, by the way, on Sunday, to get you ready to go for the next week. And we're getting some really nice comments from people who've been there coming there for the first time, and we really appreciate those. Don't forget, you got lots of things you can do. You can listen to the show three different ways on the internet, and you can read articles, lots of stuff, and check it out when you get a chance. Oh, by the way, you can also find out more and more about our Brain Trust, including the things that they offer, their books. You can find out more about that. We've got a resources page there that I think is becoming very popular. Let me tell you about our good friend, Dr. Hamilton Beasley, who's with us right now. Hamilton is scholar in residence at St. Edward's University in Austin, Texas. He's a former associate professor in the Department of Psychology at the George Washington University, and he's a leading expert on a number of topics. He's the author of a book called Continuity Management, which is one of my favorites, and then the new book, which is really a very powerful book, folks, called No Regrets, a 10-step program for living in the present and leaving the past behind. Hamilton Beasley, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be with you again today.
It's always a pleasure to have you back because you help us, Hamilton, make sure that we don't shoot ourselves in the foot. You help us so many different ways to make sure that this human being that's in charge of our small businesses has the maximum opportunities to succeed. And one of the things you want to talk about today is how to avoid something that we may not realize that we're doing, but we all do it from time to time. I've done it myself. I sometimes still do it. And it's not a question of whether you do it. It's whether you're able to get yourself out of it. Tell us what that is.
These are some common toxic thought patterns that all of us experience to some degree in our lives. It's a common set of patterns. However, when they're carried to an extreme, as some of us do, they play a part in creating our regrets, in making our regrets more burdensome, and interfering really with the sound business decisions and effective operation of our small businesses. So these are thought patterns that we need to be aware of to counteract.
Hamilton, one of the things I like to do with folks is whenever there's something that I want them to be able to remember readily and when it happens, is I like to give them a handle. And folks, here's the handle. It's a toxic thought. Toxic thought. You know what toxic means. So think about that. And you'll do it. Maybe you're doing it right now. Maybe you'll do it today. Maybe you remember one you did yesterday. What Hamilton's going to do right now is help us to identify some of these toxic thoughts and that are very common. And I agree with him, very common among small business owners, and how to avoid them. All right, what's the first one, Hamilton?
The first one is perfectionism. When it's carried to an extreme, it creates a terrible situation for an individual because life is not perfect, we are not perfect, and when we demand of ourselves that we be perfect, we're inevitably going to be disappointed and filled with regrets. In fact, we'll be tortured by them. More importantly, perhaps from a small business standpoint, is that perfectionism keeps us from reaching our full potential and even from recognizing and acknowledging our legitimate talents and abilities. We often do not achieve what we had hoped to achieve because we did not try. We did not try because we dared not fail at being perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It was better to fail from not trying than to try and end up failing because we could not do it.
I know a lot of people who never get their dreams, they never follow their dreams really as much as they could have because they couldn't achieve perfection. And as you say, as you said, this is very toxic. They know that they've actually wind up knowing that they can't achieve perfection, and so they don't even try. And that's the most toxic of all. Hamilton, one of the things that I've tried to do in my life, and as I've observed people and observed myself, is replace perfection with the word excellence. You can't achieve perfection, but you can achieve excellence, can't you?
I think that's a great idea, because that is an achievable, realistic goal. Excellence is possible for all of us in certain areas of our lives, and
right.
Those of us who've devoted ourselves to business can excel there.
I want to dwell on this just a little, this perfection excellence thing, just a little bit more. Then we're going to move on. We've got a handful of toxic thoughts we want to help you avoid and or get rid of whenever they happen to you. And then we're going to do that again right after these messages with our good friend, Dr. Hamilton Beasley. It's 20 Till. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We got a lot of stuff to cover with our good friend, Dr. Hamilton Beasley, the author of No Regrets, which is a book I certainly recommend to you folks. And Hamilton, I know we got a number of these toxic thoughts that we want to work on, but I do want to stick with perfectionism just for a minute, because I really think that's a sticking point. That's a barrier. That's a wall. That's a hill too much to climb for a lot of people, because I have been called a perfectionist before. I'll say it that way. I have been called a perfectionist before, and it really troubled me, because and after a while I thought, am I a perfectionist, or what am I doing? What is it that I'm doing? And I finally decided, and this is my story that I'm sticking to, Hamilton. I finally decided that what I really do is I try to seek excellence. And the reason I think there's a distinction is because what I do is I make it as good as I can possibly make it with what I know at the moment. And when it comes time to pull the trigger, I pull the trigger. Now, a perfectionist would never pull the trigger.
And they often do not pull the trigger because they're not sure they're going to hit the bullseye. And as a result, they don't get in the game, and they mm-hmm. lose tremendous opportunities, particularly in a fast-moving world such as this one.
You know, one of the things that helped me, helped me with this, Hamilton, is when I stuck my early career was in the furniture business. Mm. And, you know, wood is not perfect. God made a lot of beautiful wood, but he didn't make any of it perfect. And I remember women would come in, you know, looking for a chair or a table or something, and they'd see a little knot in the wood, and they'd complain about it, and I'd say, you know, wood has knots. And so I think maybe that made me realize that something could be beautiful and not be perfect.
Absolutely, and often beauty is in the perfection, really. If you look at a tree, there are beautiful trees, and they're far from perfect. And in fact, they're all different. They've each been scarred, wounded, damaged in their own ways, and yet
right.
when you look at them, they're quite beautiful.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So if what we need to do is to listen critically to these thoughts when they come up. So if we are getting all agitated, or we are concerned that this isn't going to work because it can't be perfect, then we need to call ourselves on that thought,
right.
just as we would a colleague who's saying something that really doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. If you're a perfectionist, folks, it's really not that hard to move from being a perfectionist to seeking excellence, is it?
No, what we have to do is accept that perfection isn't possible, and we're pursuing a dream that cannot be achieved and that will ultimately disappoint us. It's a matter of accepting reality and saying, okay, I'll live within the rules the world has set for me.
What about this little mantra, a little saying that we could say to ourselves that would help us get off the perfectionist thing, maybe help some people to move on, Hamilton? What if we could say, okay, this is as perfect as I can make it with what I know right now. How about that?
We could do that, or we could say, I don't have to be perfect, but I can be excellent.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on to one of the other toxic thoughts.
The second one is extreme thinking, and we've all been victims of this at one time or another, but you often see it in business, particularly with salespeople. This is the all-or-nothing black-and-white thought pattern, where it's everything or nothing. If I don't make this sale, I'm ruined. If they say no to me, I'm no good as a salesperson.
Right.
There's no second, third, or fourth place, no second, third, or fourth chance. It's only first place or failure. I didn't make the sale. I'll never be able to sell to this company. People say, for example, I've never finished college. Now it's too late. I can't do it now, which is an example of extreme thinking.
You know, another thing that happens in small business, sometimes we just have days where nothing goes right. And it seems like every time the phone rings, it's a problem, or the banker calling saying we got no money in the bank or something like that. And you sit there and the phone rings and you say this to yourself, that can't be good. folks, does this sound like I'm coming from a place of experience? Well, it does. It is coming from a place of experience. But seriously, you get to that point, you say, that can't be good. And it turns out, guess what? I took the call and it was somebody saying, can I buy $1 million worth of stuff from you today? Or something, a reasonable facsimile thereof.
Well, I liken it to, there's some days when you just hit every red light. And there's some days when you hit all the green lights.
That's right.
And the green lights are a lot more fun. So what I say when I've got a day when I'm hitting all the red lights, I just say, well, I'm ready for the green lights.
That's right. Well, I love that. I love that John Denver song from about 25 years or so ago. Some days a diamond, some days a stone.
That's right.
That's the way you have to look at it. All right, what's another one?
We really do. Knowing what others are thinking. This is an interesting one. This is where we operate on the false assumption that we can read other people's minds or think that we should be able to. And so we blame ourselves, for example, for things we, quote, should have known, and we withhold information we need to give. So when we work with clients, when we work with our colleagues, when we work with superiors as well as our subordinates, we need to talk openly about what our expectations are.
This is where the games are played, isn't it?
Yes.
This is the game playing.
And we just assume that the person to whom we've given our instructions knows exactly what we're thinking, and we assume that we know what they're thinking. And instead of saying, now, do you have that clear? Do you have any questions? Do you want to summarize that for me to be sure that you've got it? We don't. And the result is they don't perform at their peak level.
Right. And what we've done is we've set them up for failure. And maybe ourselves. Stand by. We're going to come back and talk about some more toxic thoughts that you might recognize and how to get rid of those, how to avoid them. It's an important process. It's an important exercise for all of us to focus on. Dr. Hamilton Beasley is our guest. He's the author of No Regrets, 10 Till. Stay with us. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Dr. Hamilton Beasley, the author of No Regrets. Hamilton, you got a website for the book, haven't you?
I do. The site is www.noregrets.org.
.org. What do we find when we get there?
You'll find a little bit about me, but more importantly, you'll find out about the new book, No Regrets, a 10-step program for living in the present and leaving the past behind. And you'll find a summary of the toxic thought patterns that we've been talking about today.
Great. Thank you for that. And that's free. That's just check that out when you get a chance, folks. And if you, I'll tell you, you might be saying, do I need that book? Well, especially if you're having any kind of a challenge, getting your life in gear and making the next step, maybe you've had a lot of success, but you're stumped, and maybe you're doing it to yourself. And that's one of the biggest things to admit, isn't it? To come to terms with, Hamilton, is that maybe our problems are not something else outside of us. They're inside of us.
That is a major human challenge to deal with. I think in addition to the list of toxic thought patterns, what people will find is a means of overcoming the regrets that burden them, because regrets are inevitable in life. The question is just, will we hold on to them or will we let them go?
Right. What about exaggerated control? That's another toxic thought.
It is a toxic thought. It's an interesting one. It refers to an exaggerated sense of control over other people and events that we sometimes have. In planning for the future and in working out our strategy, we really need to be aware that we have some influence over the people around us, and we want to think about how to influence and motivate them effectively, but we don't really have any control. That keeps us collaborative. The idea of exaggerated control is responsible for a lot of blame that we heap on ourselves for things we didn't see, things we didn't do, when we really had no power to control the situation, only to influence it. And this allows us to be more at ease, as it were, in the world as we operate in it.
Aren't there are heart attacks, sad to say, inside of that toxic thought, aren't there?
There really are.
I mean literally heart attacks.
Literally heart attacks, and also we make impossible demands on people because we think we can control them, and we can't.
And ourselves.
We have to accept our own limits. That's a key to being a really good business owner or executive, is to understand your strengths and play to them, understand your weaknesses, and have them counteracted by people around you who can handle the things you can't.
It's the Harry Callahan philosophy, isn't it?
Yes.
Remember that? A man's got to know his limitations. Harry Callahan.
Absolutely right.
Clint Eastwood. I'll never forget that. I like those movies, but I really learned a lot when he said that. A man's got to know his limitations. All right, what's another one?
Next one would be personalizing events. That is the syndrome where it's all about me. And so it distorts our thinking because someone does something that's really primarily in response to who they are and the circumstances of their lives, and we interpret it about being about us.
Right.
For example, in selling books, you could send a great manuscript to a publisher, and the publisher could have a similar book in process, or has just published a book, or has a best-selling book in that area and doesn't want the sales cannibalized, and so they turn your book down, and you say, it's all about me as a writer, I'm no good.
Right.
You combine that with all-or-nothing thinking, and you say, I'll never write another book, when actually you had a good manuscript.
Right. And what was it? Somebody said that Dr. Seuss's book was turned down like 26 times before a publisher actually, you know, and this sold, you know, millions and millions. We got about 1 minute. What about one more? Give us one more.
Sure. Foreseeing the future. This is the notion that we can see the future and to blame ourselves for future events we didn't predict. Stock market collapse was a good example of that. Mm-hmm. Again, we have to understand we do the best we can. We pursue, as you say, excellence in our planning, but we cannot foresee every event, and
right.
We don't hold ourselves accountable for those we can't foresee.
Couldn't we just start saying to ourselves, I'm going to give myself a break?
Well, that's a key part of it. The other part is to listen critically to these thoughts we have and say, isn't this a toxic thought pattern? If it is, to analyze the validity of the thought by asking ourselves questions like, is this statement true? Is this fair? Is this realistic? Why can't I give myself a break? And then act on that data.
Hamilton Beasley, wow, what a great visit. Thank you for being here. Good information, good wisdom from the words of Hamilton Beasley. Thank you, Hamilton. See you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. Give yourself a break today, folks. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.